Unfortunately, not in the studio with me today, but on the phone, having a little bit of a R&R in Adelaide. Hello, Alan.
Hi, Shebex. How are you going,
I'm fantastic, mate. How's your little rest and recuperation period?
It's absolutely beautiful. I'm in Glenelg.
Oh, a great place, isn't it, Glenelg?
It's fantastic. A lot of Melbourne people sort of don't, yeah, they frown on going to Adelaide for holidays or Glenelg. It's absolutely beautiful here. Beautiful place to come with a family.
Beautiful. Lovely. Yeah, it is a lovely place. We were there in November when my son was over there playing some softball for a tournament.
Fantastic.
So, fantastic place. Hey, Al, before we kick off and start to talk about networking, I've just got to catch up and get a lunchtime update from Graeme Smokey Dawson.
A test cricket update. The Kangan Institute. Real education, real skills, real jobs.
Talk to me, Smoke.
I will, Tony. Thank you. Yes, they invoked a half-hour rule with 9 wickets down at the scheduled lunchtime of 1 o'clock after we started at 11:45. West Indies batted on 79 overs and 4 balls minimum to complete the day's play. I don't think the Australians too happy that the West Indies did bat on, and they've finally been dismissed for 330. Tony Ramden out for 62, Roach 15, last man out Taylor for 13. And Jamel Warrick can go home and say, they couldn't get me out, those Aussies. I've had 5 bats and 5 not outs, and he was 21 not out today.
Bad luck if you backed him for highest average.
Yes,
he didn't get one.
Didn't have one, correct. Hazelwood finished with 1 for 49. We saw him for a couple of overs today. James Pattinson, check his haircut out next time you see him, Tone. 2 for 76, it's just a shocker. He had a couple of overs today. Nathan Lyon, 46 overs, 12 maidens, 3 for 120. And Steve O'Keefe, 26 overs and 1 ball, 7 maidens, 3 for 63. I'm assuming we're going to see the Australians bat at about 11:45 when play will resume after lunch. And we're back to 53 overs at the minute for the day. Thank you, Tony.
Talk to you in half an hour. Smoke Graeme Smokey Dawson covering the cricket for us.
SEN Summer of Cricket. For Autovate, buy, bundle and save with autovate.com.au and queenoftickets.com for the best seats in the house.
Whenever I go out for a drink with the boys, Alan, I tell my wife I'm networking. Is that what networking is?
Well, it might be and it may not be, Shebex, depending on your intention. It's a really important part of business, obviously, and whilst the forms of networking have changed, I think quite significantly, yeah, the importance of networking certainly hasn't. If anything, I think it's more important, and that's a good starting point to say. Well, you know, is sort of the old business lunch, the boozy lunch sort of thing, a thing of the past? I think in large part it is. That's not to say that, you know, people shouldn't be doing it, but it's certainly less prevalent now than it used to be with the advent of digital marketing, the social media, the ease of meeting people digitally, the ease of communicating with them digitally has changed the nature of networking. In some ways, it may have made it a bit less enjoyable. It might have even made it a bit tougher. It hasn't got rid of business lunches and so on, but certainly the big point in this is that people in business need to be up to date with how they go about their networking.
Yeah, exactly. So if you take away the boozy lunches and all that sort of stuff, as networking used to be, how do people get together now? Is it basically through things such as LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, all those, or are there actual network gatherings, I suppose, where people can still meet face to face?
All of the above.
Okay.
It would be silly to suggest that, you know, face to face is not important. It's incredibly important, and one of the vehicles that digital connections with people gives us is that we can get to people face to face. We can get to more people of our choosing face-to-face through being very good with how we handle the whole digital experience. Mm-hmm. So that when the problem with it has become, though, that some people probably in the older age groups are sort of get a little bit stuck with this, and they'll say, well, you know, as long as I put my business on Facebook, or I put a profile on LinkedIn, or I better set up a Twitter account or follow some people, or what's this Instagram thing? As long as they sort of get involved, they think that's networking. Now, certainly getting involved is the first step. You have to do that.
Yep.
You have to start playing around with it. But working it effectively is massively different than just setting up a Facebook page or you actually working LinkedIn and figuring out how it works and putting posts on it and becoming becoming something of value to people. It's not just a matter of having your name or your business out there, but your name and your business that people actually want to have something to do with, and that could be by providing information or connections to other people. So the formats of it have changed, but at the end, you may still go down the same path and say, well, Alan Rodway does want to get up, get together with, you know, Tony Shabecki, and therefore let's catch up for a coffee and have a look at what we might be able to do together. But the avenue to do that has come through social media, digital marketing and so on. So having a plan for it's really important.
All right, cool. Well, while we're on social media and digital marketing and the like, let's talk about some of the, I suppose a lot of people set up accounts, and there's, if you go through social media, there are so many accounts that don't have photos on them and all that sort of stuff. To get the most effective use out of social media for a networking opportunity, surely you've got to be able to, you've got to continually work your social media channels, your Facebook, your LinkedIn, your Twitter accounts and all that sort of stuff to make sure that your content's up to date and the like?
It does, and so it has to be credible. So, yeah, things like not having photos, not having two things, valuable content and fresh content, is an absolute no-no. So, like, if you go through the, you go through the number of private businesses that have got websites, and you can tell in, like, 10 seconds that there's hardly been anything added to them or changed in the last months.
Yeah.
Months. Yeah, I mean, that's just absurd. I mean, like, in this day and age, fancy not sort of putting a new article or even a, you know, a couple of comments or something inside the last week. I mean, that would be my rule of thumb. If you're not adding content to whatever it is, website, Facebook, Twitter, inside a week, then you're really not serious about what you're doing. So the content has to be fresh and it has to be valuable, meaning interesting or of use to someone. Otherwise, you're not engaging in any networking experience at all. You're just sort of putting a few, you know, flags up here and there, hoping someone will sail past and like it. Not likely at all.
What are some of the reasons then, Alan, that we do network?
Really, really important to know why you want to do it, because it sometimes, you know, so, sometimes a business would want to network just to promote their brand, and that's a longer term intention, obviously, brand awareness. Others. It might be more directly to drive revenue in the shorter term. You may want to generate referrals to someone who could buy what you're selling, or referrals to people who might be good employees with your business, or it just might be for your learning and development. And it could be for a host of other reasons. But if you're not clear on what the purpose or purposes are of each of the networking activities that you're engaged in, it's not going to be effective. It's just feeding them shotgun approach, and it goes out there and nothing's likely to return to you. Like, it's, if I somehow got to meet Tony Shabecki a couple of years ago and said, mate, let's go for a coffee, you'll pick up very quickly if I've got no idea why I even said that. So what's he want? Does he want me to introduce me to someone, or does he want me to, you know, subscribe to his website, or what's going on here? That not only is that confusing, it can be quite negative and less likely for you to then sort of do anything or refer me on to someone else, rather than being very clear that what I actually want to do is I actually want to learn from you. You're an expert in the media and I'm not. So if I spend half an hour with you having a coffee and ask some sensible questions, at the very least that's interesting to me, but it's probably valuable as a learning experience. If I make that obvious to you, you'll engage that a lot quicker and a lot more effectively than if I'm sort of, you're sitting there trying to second guess, what's this bloke on about? You know, what's he really want? What's he not saying that's behind it? It can cause suspicion at worst. And you mentioned before in terms of networking organisations, I personally am not big on them.
Okay.
However, I would certainly be saying to other people that they can be highly effective. There's lots of breakfast groups around and all sorts of organisations, or maybe you can even set up one of your own. I know some young people who have got together and got a dozen or so younger people with similar interests, and they'll meet on a monthly basis, and it takes them where it takes them, and it can be a really valuable experience for them. So networking organisations can be effective, but same thing, they've got to be consistently handled.
Before we go to the break, you obviously, though, if you're going to have a network meeting with a person or people, you've got to make sure that you're there for the same reasons that they're there as well. I mean, if you're there to try and find a new job, but everyone else is there to either promote their brand or try and generate some referrals for sales, I mean, you're all going to go and you're all going to butt heads, and everyone's going to walk out of them and think, well, that was a total waste of time.
And that's, you've just hit the nail on the head in terms of why I'm personally not big on those sorts of organisations that some of them have been fairly poor at identification of what the real purposes are. And it's not quite the sort of the sharing environment that you want it to be on in whatever that sharing is supposed to be about. So you're right, mate.
Yeah, all right. We'll take a break, mate. When we come back, we'll just get a quick update from Brett Phillips up in Brisbane and have a chat to Alan Rodway a bit further on networking. And is it for your business or your personal life? We'll find out more about that in just one tick. And we've got Alan Rodway on the line talking networking with him today. We'll have Alan back in the studio, hopefully, next week, Alan.
Thank you, mate.
You're back in Melbourne next week?
I certainly am.
Beautiful. Now, mate, networking. We spoke about the opportunities through social media and the like. We've spoken about the opportunities of face-to-face network meetings and the like. Email in networking, is it a little bit dangerous?
Have you ever been on the end of an email where you sort of thought, not sure about that one?
Well, yeah, it comes over to me and I've had a couple sent to me, and I'm thinking, is this just spam? I don't actually understand what this is about.
When you have to actually figure out yourself whether it's spam or not, it's not a particularly high-quality email, is it?
No.
Email's a brilliant form of communication because it's instantaneous and you can go anywhere you want. That's free sort of thing, pretty much. But it's very, very dangerous. It's extremely dangerous from a networking perspective because you want to be very careful to not be seen to just be asking for something when you're sending it. Because, one, it could be regarded as spam. Two, well, who are you? And two, three, it's a bit early to be asking questions of me like that. So you want to be picking the right time. You want to be picking the right person. You want to be picking the right phrasing. I'm really big on networking, saying that be the first one to not just be offering the help, but give the help. Be the first one. Don't be seen or known as someone who, I'm out to get something back. I'm happy to do something. I'm happy to give some advice. I'm happy to do something for you. I'm happy to introduce you to someone in my network and demonstrate that trust exists for us. And off the back of that, you may well choose to return that favour to me. But you know what would be really good? I don't even expect you to do that. And that might sound a bit silly, but it actually works, and it's actually a very good feeling to say, well, Tony Shebeki and I get together as a favour and to catch up whatever, and Tony says, I think about this, and I think, well, why wouldn't you do this? And I know someone who might be able to help you, and I'll absolutely do it for you. And I follow through on that. Now, Tony thinks, well, Alan's not a bad guy, and he was genuine in that, and he didn't even ask me for something. Well, the reality is that what goes around comes around, and you end up getting favours back from people, whether you expect them or not. And I'm big on doing that. So make sure in your email communication and in other forms of the experience that you have with networking that you're the first one to give the help and not just be the sort of the beggar of help sort of thing.
I'm sure there's people out there, though, Al, that would be thinking, well, hang on, this guy's actually wanting to get into the same field as me, and he's asking me to help him to get in there. Now, if he gets in, all of a sudden I've got a direct competitor.
I reckon that is the most flawed view that anyone can possibly have. And I reckon if you ask anyone who's very successful in any field, they're not afraid of competition.
Yeah.
They know what makes things work. They know their own capability. They know that helping people comes back to you 100 times over. I don't find that very successful people hold that attitude. I find that people who are struggling find that out. I don't want anyone swimming in this competitive pool that I'm in because it's getting a bit too hot for me in here. You need to back yourself and you need to be known as someone who does that. And competition's a really good thing. I think it works in exactly the opposite way. That's a really good comment, Shebex. A lot of people don't get involved in some things because of that fear.
Now, the other thing also, Alan, is trust. And there's a difference between referral networking where obviously Alan Rodway says, hey, Tony, I've got this young kid who wants to get into radio. Mate, is there any chance that you could have a chat to him for half an hour or so and just sort of fill him in with how he should go? I'll say, yeah, for sure, mate. If you're referring him, no problems. I'm more than happy to. There's a difference
Absolutely.
Between that and someone, Johnny John Hansen from Caulfield, who sends me one and says, I've just finished a radio course at Swinburne and I'd like to sit down and have a chat to you about how I can get into radio. Would it be possible for us to meet to have a coffee? Now, with yours, I'm just saying yes straight away. With Johnny John Hansen, I'm thinking, who is this kid? I don't even know him.
Trust is massive, isn't it? And it's massive in all forms. It's all forms of trust is massive in life. Trust is massive in all forms of business, and it's significant in networking. So you're right. Sometimes when I'm asked to refer or introduce someone to someone else, if I don't know the person, it might be Tony Shabeki says to me, Alan, you know, I've got a friend and he would like to be introduced to someone or some opportunities, or can you help him? I would say absolutely, and I would ask you, are you happy to recommend him? In other words, are you happy to transfer my trust of you onto that person so that I can trust them? Now, if you say, yep, he's an absolute ripper, then I'll go with that because I trust you.
Yeah.
But if you say, well, I don't know him particularly either because he's the son of a mate of a mate of a mate, then I'd say, look, I'm happy to introduce him, but I will be saying that. I will actually be saying that. I'll say, look, this is a contact I've come across through someone I trust. He's not coming with a recommendation, or she's not coming with a recommendation, but yeah, so you can sum that up yourself, but I'm happy to make the introduction. And I think, so everyone wins through that. You know, the person gets the opportunity of the introduction, and they can prove themselves and take whatever steps are necessary to do that, rather than saying, well, no, you can't recommend them, I can't recommend them, I'm not going to do anything. I'd still rather do that, and if someone, you know, chooses to meet them, well, so be it.
What about networking outside of your own industry? How much of an advantage could that be for you?
Massive, massive, massively critically important. You look at me a couple of weeks ago, mate, when we were talking about all these businesses that have sprung up that they've done it in just completely different ways, like Airbnb and all that sort of stuff. They're coming with left-field ideas. Business is now more about left-field ideas than ever before. It's much easier to come up with left-field business ideas by talking to people outside business who are involved in other things, be it charity organisations or, you know, whatever it is, you know, organisations of purpose that are not there, not-for-profits, that sort of thing, and learn from those people and how they're, maybe how they're having to battle, how they're having to find cut-through barriers and all that sort of stuff. I think it's more important today to learn from non-business people as well as business people than it used to be.
Yeah, very much so, very much so. Mate, our time is coming towards an end, so just a couple more quick questions for you. Measuring the return from a networking opportunity, how do you do that?
Yeah, I'm not big on that, and I'm not sure that listeners will agree with my response to that, which is always okay. I'm not big on measuring the return from networking. I understand the risk in that is that you could waste a lot of time not getting anywhere, but I go by gut feel. Yeah, I think gut feel is still an important part of what we do in business, and we've got to trust our intuition a bit. And if you run around sort of expecting results from, you know, every meeting you have or every phone call or email, I mean, it's actually going to come through in your behaviours. You and I have our coffee and 3 weeks later I haven't got a referral from it or something. Yeah. So what am I going to do about that? So, well, that didn't work. Well, it might have worked. So I might have learned something unbelievably important during the session. I'm not big on the measurement. I understand it can be done in some ways, but I think gut feel's got to play a very important role in it as well.
The other thing too is it's important also, isn't it, if you're asked to be a referrer, to follow up and not just say you're going to do it, but don't do it.
Oh, massive.
Because there's nothing worse than if I'm waiting for Alan Rodway to introduce me to this bloke and I'm just sitting at home thinking, do I ring him? I don't want to ring him because I don't want to seem like I'm being really pushy because he's doing me a favour. But has he forgotten? Is he actually doing something about it? You're playing with my head, Al.
Yeah, because you lose credibility, don't you? So you're going to start losing your trust in me. And there's a two-way street in that too, that there's when someone does refer you, for goodness sake, keep them up to date with what's going on. That's the best way to encourage them to continue their relationship with you, and maybe even, you know, further favours, referrals or introductions that they might make for you. And I had a case last year where I referred someone in business to someone. I didn't hear a thing.
Yeah.
So I actually had to email the person back saying, well, what happened? I got an email back saying, you've already had a really good meeting. Oh, that's pretty good. Well, where's the encouragement in that? Yeah. I had an email from someone, and I know this person, so I was happy to do it. Can you help my son get a job? And I'm more than happy to do that. I said, absolutely. I'm on holidays for a couple of weeks. I won't do anything about it until I'm back. But to your point, I'll absolutely follow that. Well, the person will call me into question and say, well, where's Alan's integrity? You know, he's on radio spruiking this sort of stuff, and he said he'd help, and he hasn't done it. The other thing is, do I want anything back from this person? No. Will I do my best with this? Absolutely, yes. Will I put my recommendation to it? I can't do that, and I'll be open and honest with whoever I introduce this guy to. So I don't find any of that sort of too difficult. No. You go back to, well, what goes around comes around.
All sounds too easy. Mate, go and enjoy a nice beer on the beach. Look forward to seeing you next week.
Thanks a lot, Shivex. Really good to talk to you as always, my friend.
Yourcoachonline.com.au. Alan Rodway joining us there for a bit of a chat.